Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the 8th canto, Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creations. Chapter 9, the Lord incarnates as Mohinimurti. We're going to read text 10, has no purport, and then text 11. We'll chant that 11 together. So today's class will be entitled Transcending Kamini. In other words, it's a way of saying, kill this enemy, lust. Okay, so I'll chant this verse. Salarikanam strinam cha svarininam sudadvisaha sakyani ahur anityani Nutnam Nutnam Vichintpatam. Translation. O demons, as monkeys, jackals, and dogs are unsteady in their sexual relationships and want newer and newer friends every day, women who live independently seek new friends daily. Friendship with such a woman is never permanent. This is the opinion of learned scholars. So today's text, let's chant together. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Iti Te Svelitais Tasya iti takes vevi tais tasya aisvasta manaso sura asvasta manaso sura jahasur baba gambiram Jahasur Baba Gambiram Darus Chamrita Bhajanam Darus Chamrita Bhajanam Sri Sukhuvacha Iti Tekes Velitais Tasya Asvasta manaso suraha Jahasur baba gambiram Darus chamrita bhajanam Sri Shukavacha Iti te chevitais tasya Asvasta manaso suraha Jahasur Baba Gambiram Darus Chamrita Bhajanam. Bhajanam Shishuka Bhaja Tite Chasya Tasya asvastha manaso suraha jasu bhava gambiram tadushchamita bhajanam Sri Sukhavacha iti tekse viditastasya asvastha manaso suraha Sam 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 s Vaishnavis. Shri Shuku Bacha. Dite Satyajata. Yasur Baba Gambiram. Dharishtamrita Bhajanam. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Selitastasya. Asvastha Manaso Sudaha. Yasur Baba Gambiram. Dharishtamrita Bhajanam. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Iti te svelitastasya asvasto manaso sudaha. Okay, let's do word meanings. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Shri Sukadev Goswami said, Iti, thus, te, those demons, Svelitai, by speaking as if jokingly, Tasya, of Mohini Murti. Asvasta, grateful with faith. Manasa, their minds. Asura, all the demons. Jahasu, laughed. Baba Gambiram, although Mohini Murti was full of gravity. Daru, delivered. Cha, also. Amrita Bhajanam, the container of nectar. So, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. After the demons heard the words of Mohini Murti, who had spoken as if jokingly, they were all very confident. They laughed with gravity. And ultimately, they delivered the container of nectar into her hands. Please repeat. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. After the demons heard the words of Mohini Murti, who had spoken as if jokingly, they were all very confident. They laughed with gravity. And ultimately, they delivered the container of nectar into her hands. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead in his form of Mohini was certainly not joking, but talking seriously with gravity. The demons, however, being captivated by Mohini Murti's bodily features, took her words as a joke, and confidently delivered the container of nectar into her hands. Thus, Mohini Murti resembles Lord Buddha, who appeared Samohaya Soda Dvisam, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.24, to cheat the Asuras. The word Soda Dvisam refers to those who are envious of the demigods or devotees. So the purport continues. Sometimes an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cheats the atheists. Thus we see here that although Mohini Murti was speaking factually to the Asuras took her words to be facetious. Indeed, they were so confident of Mohini Murti's honesty that they immediately delivered the container of nectar into her hands, as if they would allow her to do with the nectar whatever she liked, whether she distributed it, threw it away, or drank it herself without giving it to them. Om Gyana Tumadandasya Ginanjana Salakaya Chaksus Unmilitamena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Svabhadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So here the Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking very powerfully. Actually, whatever comes from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is true and factual. She's given an instruction. So here's a nice image of Indra. This is not in this particular pastime, but Indra has his tendency to become proud and lusty and, you know, he ignored his spiritual master, Brihaspati. So in this particular pastime, Durvasa Muni was wandering the earth and he came across this, I guess it was a Gandharva or some kind of Apsara, and she was wearing this beautiful garland, and Durvasa was attracted to that garland. So she gave it to him. She noticed, so she gave it to him. And then when he came back, he saw Indra on his elephant, Aravata. And then he thought, oh, I'll give this to Indra. So he presented the garland to Indra, and he wasn't sure to do with it, so he put it on Aravata's head. And so the elephant was irritated by the fragrance, and so he just kind of threw the garland down from his head and stomped on it, crushed it. So Durvasa was enraged, and he said, I give you this gift, and you so callously just, you know, cast it down. So therefore I cast you down, you know, from your dominion over all these three worlds. So Indra immediately realized what he did, because Durvasa Muni's, as they say, trigger happy, his curse happy. So he likes to curse people, or he's known for that. So he refused to retract the curse from Indra. So therefore Indra lost all his opulence and everything, and there was a great fight between the demons and the demigods. And they were all, devas were diminished in their strength. So the demigods were diminished in their strength. So the demons, seeing this, they took that opportunity and they waged war against the demigods. So they were pretty much defeated. And so they went to, here we see Indra on his elephant. Due to his, there's always some kind of, wherever you go in the heavenly planets, or even lower planets, there's always some kind of strife. There's some envy, there's some anger, there's some greed. So this happens always wherever you go within the material world, the demons and the demigods. So they were bewildered and they're bereft of all their opulences, and they were in a very difficult position. So they turned to Brahma, and Brahma directed them to Lord Vishnu. And this is where Lord Vishnu gave them the idea of the Samudra Manthan. Samudra means ocean, and the Manthan means churning. So he told them that you should get this huge mountain, and you bring it to this ocean of milk, and we can make a truce with the demigods. They're very stout and strong, so you need their help. You can't do it by yourself. So you can do this, and we'll get the nectar. So, as you can see here, the demons and demigods agreed, and they tried to bring this huge mountain of gold, just so heavy that they pretty much broke all their shoulders, their arms, and their legs. And here, this is a very wonderful pastime because Krishna appears so many times within this particular pastime. So here Krishna appears, and he lifts up this huge Mandara mountain very easily. And what does he do with it? He just simply puts it on Garuda's back. And then Garuda just flies effortlessly to the ocean of milk, so where they can start the churning process. So here, they put it in the ocean of milk, and we can see that it was unsteady, so Krishna had to appear again as Korma. This huge turtle was like 800,000 miles long. Can you imagine it? So this is Krishna, and then he rests it on his back. So Krishna is appearing in all these different pastimes for many reasons. To give us instruction, to help his devotees when they come and they ask for help. Sometimes this is the best prayer that we can have, is help. If we're not asking for help, then we're actually thinking that I know what I'm doing. You know, I'm independent, I can do whatever I like. But here Krishna comes, just out of his own sweet will, just for his own pleasure, his own pastime, and to please his devotees. So we can see how now they're engaged in the churning process, and yet the mountain is still unsteady. So Krishna appears again, and he sits on top of the mountain, and he steadies it. So here we can see the demons and the demigods. They're actually working together. But the demons, being greedy, they think they're all powerful and they want better positions all the time. Even in the churning process, they didn't want to take the tail end of the huge snake that was used for the churning rod, Vasuki. So they said, it's inauspicious. We should have the front end. We don't want to be on the tail end. So they were warned by Vishnu that whatever the demigods or the demons say, just agree to them. Don't fight. Don't be attracted to anything that's churning from this ocean. So as you can see in the background there's already some things are being produced. The horse, the elephant, there's Tulsi Devi. It's produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. So this is where actually the demons got fried from getting the front end because of the mouths of the snake. There's so many mouths, and he was breathing fire, and they were full of smoke, and they were burnt. So they actually lost a lot of their strength that way. So the first thing that was produced actually from this churning was this poison. It was very detrimental to the three worlds. So we had to... Something had to be done. So Krishna wanted Lord Shiva to come, so they requested him to come. And here a lot of people may think that actually Lord Shiva, why did I have to do it? Why didn't Krishna do it? Lord Shiva more powerful than Krishna? Actually, even in the same pastime, we'll see how Lord Shiva asked to see this beautiful form of Mohinimurti. And he becomes bewildered by it. So you can see Krishna is the supreme. So this is the proof within the same pastime. If someone has any doubts, who is supreme? So first that was produced was this Lakshmi came. I don't know if she was first, but she was produced. And she picked her husband as Lord Vishnu. And then we can see here the nectar finally came with this person called Dhanvantari. He was actually an incarnation of Krishna. And he brought the medicinal science, the Ayurvedic science, and this jug that he brought actually had the contents of this nectar. So the demons, being greedy again, they actually came and they just snatched it from Dhanvantari. They just grabbed it. So as a result, there was a fierce fight again. And not only between the devas and the asuras, but actually the asuras amongst themselves, they were fighting. You know, you're a lesser demon than me. I deserve it first. So they were all fighting over these drops of nectar. And it's said that actually, while they were fighting, there's four drops that fell from the pot. And they landed in Prayag. There's one landed in Prayag, one in Hadwar, and one in Ujjain. And that's in Maharashtra, Nasik. And this is why they celebrate the Kumbh Mela every 12 years for this reason, to get a little bit of this nectar of immortality. So the demon, this is when Mohini Krishna appears again in this pastime as a beautiful woman. So who else could be more beautiful than Krishna, no matter what form he takes? Especially a woman. It's a very powerful form. In fact, Lord Kapiladeva was explaining to his mother, Devahuti, just see the power I have invested in women. And he tells her, there's this great king. He's a conqueror of the earth. He conquers all people, far and wide. And then when he comes home, what does he do? He comes and bows at the feet of his queen, and he, you know, worships her lotus feet. So this is the great power of a woman. So, as we mentioned in the beginning, this word Kamini, it means, actually refers to a woman who incites lusty desires. So it's actually lust, kama. And this is the tendency that why we should not allow, Prabhupada says, I have said in Chicago that women should not be given independence. And then there was a big, they're all turned against me. There was newspaper articles and so many different things against me because I said this. But he said actually that is a fact, that this independence is what we are against. Just like there's three kinds of women. There's the Swarini, the Kamini, and the Pumschali. So the Swarini is, she's independent. And the Kamini, she's lusty. And the Pumschali, very easily subdued by men. So Prabhupada said that this is not only refers to the women, but also the men. Insane. So this is the nature. As Prabhupada says, the woman's name is called Kamini, which means lust, and it invokes lust. So this is a nature, a very beautiful woman. They dress themselves very beautifully, and what they do is incite the lusty desires of a man. So this is, according to Vedic civilization, a woman should not dress very nicely unless her husband is present. So it's so nice in the Vedic culture that just by seeing a woman, you could tell what her position is. So if she's living with a woman, with a man, she could see that the man is present if she's dressed nicely. You can see if she's a widow. You can see if she's out of her home. Or you can see if she's a prostitute, simply by the dress. So, oh, here's a woman. Her husband is not at home, so because she's not dressed. She's not dressed very nicely. So, oh, here's a woman. She's a widow. Oh, here's a woman, she's a prostitute. So just to see how they dress. So one can understand just by the vermilion between the hair of a woman, you could tell that she's married. And when she's dressed nicely, then, she has a husband at home. But when she only wears white cloth without any ornaments, then we know she's a widow. So this is the beauty of Vedic culture, that we can see that where someone is at. So here, these demons, They agreed to whatever she said, whatever proposal, after they worked so hard. Can you imagine the endeavor of this great feat? You know, breaking their backs, breaking their arms, even die to produce this nectar, and they had to be revived by Krishna. And yet here comes a woman talking very nicely and dressed very nicely. And says, oh, why don't you give me the nectar? I'll, you know, so they trusted me and said, well, what are you doing? You're trusting me? I'm just a woman. I'm a prostitute. I'm wandering here and there. And you're trusting me? But they still, they're thinking that, oh, she's looking for a husband. And therefore, you know, I'll be nice to her. We'll agree whatever she says and maybe she'll pick me. But there's another aspect of a woman's power is her shyness. Even Bhishmadev says that if you break that shyness, then there'll be disaster. So that's her one another type of beauty of a woman. And that's the beauty that Prabhupada wanted his disciples to have. So after this particular incident, after she divided the nectar to the demigods, the demons were cheated, and one tried to be tricky, as we saw previously, was the demon Rahu. He realized what was going on, and he dressed as a demigod. But he was detected, and his head was cut off. So then started another war, another fight happens because of this nectar. So this time the demigods, because they had the nectar, they won. So what a wonderful pastime, how Krishna appears so many times in this particular situation. So here's an interesting thing here about independence. In the Krishna book, it talks about how the cows were being, you know, they would always be taken care of by Krishna and Balaram and the gopas. But sometimes when they were playing, the cows, they would actually turn their back towards Krishna and independently walk off. Not taking control of Krishna. So what happened? They would be wandering from forest to forest. And then they found themselves in trouble. In a huge forest fire. And then again, they had to turn towards Krishna. Help! So Krishna comes. And what does he do? He just says, close your eyes, and he just sucks all the flames in and protects his devotees. So this is like the material world. We have turned away from Krishna, put our back towards Krishna, and we're thinking we're independent. We can do whatever we like, and then we find ourselves in difficulty. What's that difficulty? The first words out of the devotee's mouth in the morning, samsaradava. You know, it's that forest fire of this material existence. It's we're burning. So we have to take shelter of Krishna in this way. Because we're under the three modes of material nature. And we're talked about transcending this kamini. Transcendental means free from the three modes of material nature. If you're not transcendental, then you're completely under the control of these modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. So here we can see this one pastime from the sixth canto. This shows you what happens when one independently loses his focus from looking at Krishna. Seeing a woman, a beautiful woman, in the forest when he went to get wood for the house, he saw these two sudras embracing very shamelessly. And he just, after seeing, he was meditating on that for 24 hours a day. Just lusty desires. So when one becomes lusty, he loses all his intelligence. And the whole world is actually going on the basis of lusty desires. So, because I'm lusty, you're lusty, you know, my desires aren't fulfilled, your desires aren't fulfilled, then what happens? We become enemies. I can't see you're making good progress. You know, I should be making progress, like we're seeing the demons in this pastime. So we have this in the mature world. These are our enemies, this enviousness, this lusty desires, this kama, krodha, lobha, moha, and matsurya. These are our enemies, this lust, anger, greed, illusion, and this enviousness. This is the basis of the material world. So just this man, although he was trained up as a brahmana, all of a sudden his attention was diverted from his chanting, his hearing, and he saw this Sudrani and Sudra embracing, kissing, talking, doing so many different things. So instead of meditating on Vishnu, he began to meditate on this 24 hours a day. It was like he was bewildered. He was like haunted by a ghost. How can I get this woman? How can I please her so that she can satisfy my lusty desires? So that was his only business. So therefore, what did he do? In order to satisfy, you need money. So the story goes on that he killed, murdered, did whatever he want just to satisfy the lusty desires of this woman. So this is what happens. A very vivid example from the Srimad Bhagavatam that we have this enemy. While contemplating the objects of the senses, one gets attachment. From attachment comes lust. From lust, anger. Then bewilderment. Intelligence is lost. Then one falls down into the material world. So this is our enemy, our real enemy, is this lust. So when you have an enemy, what do? There's four things you should do when you come across an enemy. You can bribe him, you could talk him nicely and stuff like that. But you think Mr. Lust is going to listen to you? Is going to actually come and around the round table and have a conference? No. Or you can also do something. You can bribe him. Bribe Mr. Lust. You give him something. It's like trying to bribe the fire with ghee. The more ghee you put in the fire, the more it wants, the more it's not going to be extinguished. It's just going to keep going on and on and on. This is the nature of lust. Or you can separate it. You can try to outcast it. That's what you do with an enemy, right? You alienate him. But you can't separate kama from krodha, from matsurya. These are their friends. They're all together. It's a band. It's a gang. They'll come together. And what is the final way to get rid of an enemy? The only process is what? What's the fourth? Oh, Archita went like this. Yeah, is that you kill him. That's the only way. You see? So this is why Vedic culture is so important. It's not that a woman is a hindrance to spiritual advancement. It's not only women, because man is also woman. Don't think that the woman is condemned and that man is not. What does woman mean? Woman means enjoyed, and man means enjoyer. So this feeling is condemned. So if I see a woman for enjoyment, so I am a man. And if a woman, she sees another man for enjoyment, she's also a man. So a woman means enjoyed and man means enjoyer. So anyone who's got this feeling of enjoyment, he's considered to be a man. So there is both sexes. Everyone's planning. How shall I enjoy? Therefore it's Purusha, artificially trying to imitate Krishna. Govindam Adi Purusham. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So whether you're a man or woman, that's just your outward dress. That's your uniform you're wearing. You could be a woman in your next life. You could be a man in your next life. Or nowadays, you can change even in this life. So, this is it. So, this is the nature of lust. It burns like fire. It's an all-devour sinful enemy of this world. See, we turn our back towards Krishna. That's what happens. So, here's a yogi. He's trying to meditate. And it's described here that just as an unchaste woman can very easily be carried away by paramours. It sometimes happens that her husband is violently killed by her paramours. So this is an example of a yogi. If he gives his mind a chance and he doesn't restrain it, his mind will give facility to his enemies, which are what? Lust, anger, greed. And they will doubtlessly kill him. So they say when you're angry, you know, you shouldn't act. You shouldn't do anything. You should be like a yogi. Take a deep breath. You know, calm down. Take a deep breath. Get in your asana. What is it? Sukhasana or Padmasana you could get into. These are actually a position of goodness, is to sit down in these yoga positions. You come to the mode of goodness. When you're standing, moving around, you're in the mode of passion. When you're lying down, you're in the mode of ignorance. So you sit down calmly in the mode of goodness, take a deep breath, and you do pranayama in your asana. So this is our process of Krishna consciousness. We sit down, take up the beads, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That's pranayama. It's a breathing. So this is how we control that lust. So this is why they say that women should never be given freedom. It's just like a child. If you don't control the child, if you don't train the child properly and just pamper the child, you just spoil the child, then he's ruined. So in the same way, you know, independence is not given. This spoils a woman, spoils a man. Doesn't matter. So this is a nice prayer by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur about the mind. Dustamana, tumikishir Vaishnava. O wicked mind, what kind of Vaishnava do you think you are? You're pretentious. Show of chanting Lord Hari's holy name in a solitary place is only for the sake of attaining the false prestige of a worldly reputation. It is nothing but pure hypocrisy. Such materialistic prestige is as disgusting as the stool of a hog. Do you not know that it is the only a mere illusion cast by the potency of Maya? What is the value of contemplating day and night your plans for enjoying wealth and women? All these things are only temporary. When you claim wealth as your own, it creates your ever-increasing desires for material enjoyment. Your riches should be used for serving Madhava, the Lord of all wealth. Neither is it your proper place to indulge in lust for women, whose only true proprietor is Lord Yadava. The demon Ravana, who's lust incarnate, fought with Lord Ramachandra, who's actually love incarnate, in order to gain the tree of worldly reputation, but that oasis turned out to be but a mirage cast in the desert wasteland of the Lord's illusory material potency. Please cultivate fixed determination to attain only the steady and solid platform whereupon a Vaishnava ever stands. If you neglect worshipping the Lord from this position, then you will ultimately attain a hellish condition. So we can see many devotees have wanted, even devotees or in the Vedic times, they wanted something material. They did so many things to get it. But when somehow or another they came across Krishna, then they realized that this was just nothing but broken glass. Actually, Krishna is everything. I just love Krishna. Just by seeing you, I don't want anything else. This is the case with Dhruva Maharaj. So Prabhupada writes how the devotee, he shouldn't see anything as separate from Krishna. Whether it's ether, it's fire, water, air, sun, all these luminaries, everything. These trees, the oceans, whatever we experience, the devotee should consider them to be an expansion of Krishna. So everything exists within the body of Krishna. So the devotee, he offers his sincere respects to everybody. So Prabhupada, there was a nice lecture, I mean a conversation, Prabhupada saying how the first thing is that we should see that everyone is engaged. see how you're engaged. And that requires leadership. But the first thing is that to make sure that nobody is without engagement. Because what does he say? Because the idle mind, what is that? To be idle. The idle brain is the devil's workshop. And what is this devil? It's what we're talking about today, this kamini, kanchana, women and money. That is the devil. So if you remain idle and you just think of the devil, so that is not good. So this is what a lot of people think. This religion, it's just the opiate of the people. This was a German phrase that was quoted, was said by Karl Marx. He was thinking that, you know, the opiate of the people is this religion. You know, he thinks that they just some kind of false, unrealistic sense of contentment. But actually, Prabhupada says that they're against religion, but actually we have to show them that we are producing something. We're not idle. We're managing. We're educating. You know, we can counteract this communistic tendency. It's not that we're escaping, you know, their responsibilities. So, like the governments are complaining, they're just, you know, trying to escape the, you know, the responsibilities of their particular duties and things like that. They're just a class of idle men. But Prabhupada says, no, we should actually keep busy and show them that we can give them an ideal life. So these are all the processes we do for Krishna. Whatever you do, you can do it for Krishna. So in this way, this material world is so entangling. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that don't indulge in gramya katha. Don't read newspapers. Don't read another book. Just avoid as much as possible, he said. So, because, just like you read the newspaper, what is it? There's a flood there, there's a disaster here, there's this, that. It's the same thing going on, everywhere. But the safest method is just to think of Krishna. Simply Krishna Katha. Whatever Krishna said, whatever said about Krishna, then that's what I do. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada said we should not indulge in the gramya katha. And this is where he says here, if you engage always in Krishna katha, then we're situated in the transcendental position. This is what it means, transcendental from the three modes of material nature. We're not affected by the modes anymore. So if we stick to this principle, we will be saved. Otherwise, either I become man or woman, we're all condemned because we're implicated in gramya katha. So it should be avoided. So this is a kirtan that Lord Chaitanya wants us to do, to take advantage of, so that we can get free from this perverted reflection of love of God, which is lust. And this love of God is natural for every living entity. So if we're all educated in Krishna consciousness, then this natural love can come out. So it's so powerful, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, that this Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become a lover of God by following the regulated principles of devotional service. So from any stage of life, or from the time of understanding its urgency, one can begin regulating the senses in Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Lord, and turn the lust into love of Godhead, the highest perfection of life. So here's a nice prayer here. This is by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One is indeed detached who moderately partakes of worldly things that are deemed necessary for living in devotional service. A devotee acting in that matter does not fall prey to the disease of material infatuation. Thus, devoid of selfish attachment and endowed with the ability to see things in relation to the Lord, all sense objects are then directly perceived as being Lord Madhava himself. This is the standard of befitting renunciation, and one who realizes this is most fortunate indeed. Everything involved in such a devotee's life represents Lord Hari's personal spiritual opulence, as manifest in the world of matter. On the other hand, one who engages in chanting the Lord's name with hopes of enchanting or enhancing his own material reputation finds that all his activities and paraphernalia represent only the riches of hypocrisy. So you can just imagine a world that is taking up this process, no matter what faith, religion, what denomination, what color, what race, that they're all engaged in this Krishna consciousness activities. And that's what it is. It's not a religion. It's a science. It's a spiritual science. So we've got this opportunity. We have to be very careful that we shouldn't waste a single moment without Krishna consciousness. So every moment we should count whether I've wasted it or I utilized it. And this is a nice, I'll just end with this nice thing by, there was a book written by Gaura Govinda Swami. And this is what he says here. He quotes this verse. Kali kukua kadana yari kao. Kali yuga pavana kali baya nasana sri sachi nandana gao. If you want to crush Kali completely into the dust, the Kali dog, akukura, then you will chant Sachinandana Gora Hari Ki Jai. He is a deliverer of people affected by Kali Yuga. Those who are very afraid of the Kali Yuga should chant Gora Hari's name and perform real Krishna Kirtan, Gora Kirtan, pure Krishna Kirtan, Gora Kirtan. Then Kali will be completely destroyed. Kali the dog will be completely crushed into dust. No fear of Kali's quarreling and hypocrisy. Because you're not doing real Krishna Kirtan, Kali has entered into the movement. Thus, Gaura Sundara appeared here in the material world to shower his mercy upon one and all, even upon the dogs, hogs, stones, trees, creepers, birds, and beasts, what to speak of human beings. Follow Gauranga Mahaprabhu and chant the pure name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then you acquire everything. You acquire Krishna. Jai. So thank you very much for your kind attention. Any comments, questions? Yes, Prabhu. Over here.
Hello.
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you for having like a visual presentation. Like I'm a visual learner, and like I didn't really know what was going on for like a couple months. But now, like ever since we covered Gajendra's pastime, I've been kind of lost. But actually seeing it. And like you taking us through it, it's a lot. Like everything kind of got put together, so I really appreciate it. And I also appreciate the white text on black background that saved me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, Prabhupada said these images are windows into the spiritual world. So now that we're blessed with this presentation facility, we can share these images from the BBT. And help bring out these things to point. So thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu, for a nice presentation. I kind of had a question. It's like related, but it was kind of sort of left over from like a day ago, I think. But there's the part where it was talking about how when the demons were arguing over the nectar, the weaker demons were suggesting that they give the nectar to the demigods.
Yeah. So your friend becomes kind of your enemy, and your enemies become your friends.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, like, what were they thinking? What was their kind of strategy there? Like, were they thinking that, like, you know...
Whatever it takes. They want to get it.
How would they get it? How would they get it from the demigods, then, if they gave it to them?
Well, they're thinking that, you know, at least maybe there's a chance the demigods might share it with them. You know, because they know their demon brothers are very... Of course, the demigods are their brothers too. They're the same father. And that's what Mohinimurti was saying. You guys are very learned. You're from this great sage. Why are you guys trusting a woman, especially someone that's walking around independently? And, she, you know, but they like, oh, you know, they're just so enamored and infatuated that they did whatever she said. But yeah, they were just hoping that maybe the demigods could share it with them too. But they got cheated. Krishna is the supreme cheater. You can't cheat Krishna. He's the best cheater. So any other comments or questions? Well, thank you again. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.